Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the final Daf in the beautiful Masechta Kesubos. We're going to do Daf Kuf Yud Beis, and we're learning today Lili Nishmas Sam Bernstein, Shmuel Zanvil Ben Yaakov, as well as, unfortunately, my uncle Henry Glatt was Nifter on the last days of Sukkot, and we're learning Lili Nishmasu as well, Tzvi Hirsch Ben Leah. All the Nishmas we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. We are picking up on Kuf Yud Aleph Omud Beis. We had actually done this first line that we're going to reread today, but it's easier to find the place by going to the two dots that are five lines from the start of the wider lines. Kuf Yud Aleph Omud Beis. And we'll begin again repeating this last line of Gemara, which we learned yesterday. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Tachlifa, that's the Girsa that we have. The Hagos Hagros says that the correct Girsa should be Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta. In any event, he made the statement talking about the great praise for Eretz Yisrael's produce. Kelach shel kruv, there was a stalk of a cabbage that was very, very large. Hiniach lanu abba, a person said, Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta said, that their father left them a very, very large cabbage, and by your olim v'yardim b'vasul, they had to go up and down it with a ladder. That's how big it was. Okay, we had read that yesterday, and now we pick up from where we left off. V'dam einov tishte chomer. So we quote here the pasuk that we had alluded to from Devarim, where it says that you'll be drinking the dam enov, the blood of a grape, that you'll drink tishteh chomer, which means that it will be a very, very good wine. Now, Amru, they said about this pasuk, Chazal said, lo ka'olam hazeh ho'olam haba, that this world is not like the world to come. Ho'olam hazeh, in this world, yesh bo tzar liv tzov lidrach. A person has to go and harvest, so it's difficult. He has to go and work very hard, put in a lot of effort to go and harvest, pick the grapes, and then to compress them and to turn them into wine. However, in this world, it's hard. But ho'olam haba, in the future world, what's going to happen? Maybe anova. Some have the gears over here with a vav, some have the gears with a vez. You bring a grape. Achas, just one grape, bekaron, you're going to be such a big grape, you have to carry it on a wagon or besfina on a boat. Umeinicha bezovis beso, and you're going to put it into a corner of your house, and you'll basically have that as a wine storage area for you. Umisape came in, and you'll be able to drink wine from this one grape, kepitus godo, like it was a big barrel. And basically sticking a spigot into this large grape, and you'll draw wine from it. And likewise, the vine itself, the eitz of with the branches of the vine, the wood, masik and tachas etavsho, you'll be able to use them for firewood underneath your cooking. Ben lecha kol anova v'anova she'ein bo shloshim gar v'yayin. And every one of these grapes will be so big that you'll get 30 gar v'yayin. Rashi says in Dibra Masu Garbe that means a saw. So 30 saw. And the allusion to this is from the pasuk that they would have such large grapes with such a large amount of wine covering them. It's a pasuk session emar v'dan einov tishte chomer. The word chomer literally means a good wine, but don't read it. The pasuk says, the Gemara says, al tikre chomer ela chomer. A chomer, Rashi reminds us, is a core, which is 30 saw, but shloshim saw it. So therefore, that's the allusion to this pasuk about how great the grapes will be in the olam haba. Okay. Gemara continues and says, kiosu Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, we mentioned many, many times that the Amoraim would travel back and forth from Babel to Eretz Yisrael to bring the Torah from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, and then to bring back from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. So when Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Omar, he said, what does the pasuk mean when it says, my dear Siv? The pasuk in Vayechi says, Osri la gefen iro. A person will go and tie his donkey, his iro, that's a donkey, to the vine. So the end of that pasuk is, Velasoreka, to a branch of the vine, Bini asano. He'll tie the child, the baby of the donkey. Now, what does the pasuk mean? That's what they asked. Osri la gefen iro. We have a play on the word iro, which means a donkey, but we use that to explain that there won't be a vine in Eretz Yisrael that won't produce so much grapes, so much wine, that you won't need an entire city to go and collect it. In other words, it would be a tremendous bounty. And the end of the pasuk, Lasoroika bini asono. So we dash in the word over here, bini asono, the children of this donkey. Ein lecha kol ilan srak shevei Yisrael. There won't be a single non-fruit bearing tree in Eretz Yisrael. She'ein motzi masu ishte asonos, that will have fruit. So even though it's a ilan srak, it's a non-fruit bearing tree, nevertheless, they will also produce in the olam haba. They will also go and produce enough of a fruits that you'll have to go and put it onto two baby donkeys. B'shem HaTomar Imbo Yayag, you tell me these vines, these grapes that will be growing, won't have wine inside of them, they'll just have grapes, so it won't be wine. No, Talmud Omer, the Pasuk says, Kibes Bayayin Levusho, that there'll be so much wine over here, you'll actually do the laundry with the wine. B'shem HaTomar Inu Adam, oh, you can say it's not going to be red wine, it's going to be white wine, which isn't as good. Red wine is usually considered better. Talmud Omer, the Pasuk says, now the Pasuk that we have is V'dam Einov Tishteh Chomer, the Pasuk we just had a moment ago, but the more correct Pasuk over here is U'bedam Anovim Suso. So U'bedam Anovim means the blood of the wine. They wouldn't call the grape juice or the wine that comes out of a grape to be white wine, they wouldn't call it dam. So by the fact that it calls it dam, that means it's going to be red wine. Are you going to tell me it's not going to be alcoholic? V'shem HaTomar Einu Merabe. It's not going to make a person shikker. It's not going to make the person, become intoxicated with this juice that comes out of such a vine. It won't be good. No, that's why it says Talmud Lomar Suso. The word Suso, Rashi says, Dibur Masu Suso is Loshon Hasosa. It will intoxicate you. Shayayin Mesis is a shikur. It will be something that the shikur, a person who likes alcohol, is going to want to get very much. So, therefore, we see that this is going to be a very good wine. Are you going to tell me, maybe it just looks good and it has an alcoholic taste to it? V'shem HaTomar Ein Botam, but it's not going to taste very good. So, that's also incorrect. Talmud Lomar, because the Pasuk says, Chachlili einayim miyoyim, which literally means that your eyes will become red from the wine. So we say over here, we darshan this, kol chech shetomo, any mouth, any human being that tastes this wine is going to say, Omer, li, li. That's the play on the word chachlili, li, li, li. Give me more, give me more. I can tell me, v'shem HaTomar Lenorim Yofeh, it's maybe good for younger people, but an older person's not going to like it. So Talmud Lomar, again, the Pasuk continues and tells us, u'leven shinayim mechalav, and it's better, as we'll see in a moment, to have white teeth than to have milk. And we'll see what that means in a moment. But right now, we darshan over here, al tikri leven shinayim, don't read it as the white teeth, ela leven shanim, that will be even good for an older person. Okay? That's the way we darish in this pasuk. Nu, pashti dekrom ma'iksev. What is the simple pshat of the pasuk as opposed to the drush that we just gave it? Ki also Ravdimi. So Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. He explained it as follows. Omar Knesset Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The simple understanding of the pasuk is that the Jewish people, the nation of Klal Yisrael, is talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they say, Ribono Shel Olam, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remoz be'einoyich debosim mechamra. In other words, give us a remez from your eyes, show us from your eyes that it's even better than wine. What does that mean? Show us you're happy with us, which is even better. If we know that you're happy with us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show us the gleam in your eyes, Kaviyochel, and that's even better than if we have wine. And likewise, V'achile Shinoyich, and show us your smile, show us your teeth. When you smile, you show your teeth. The Bosa Michalva, that's even better than Cholov, that's even better than milk. Now, this is in accord, Messiah Rav Yochanan. This goes very well with Rav Yochanan. What did Rav Yochanan say? The Rav Yochanan, Tov Hamal bin Shinaim L'Chaveiro. It's better for a person to give a smile to their friend, Yoser mi Mashkeu Cholav, than to give them milk. Because the Pasuk says, Shinemar, Leven Shinaim Echolav. It's better to have Leven Shinaim, to have teeth, rather than milk. So, Al Tikri Leven Shinaim. Don't read it as Leven Shinaim, which means white teeth, Ela Libun Shinaim. But it means that you should have white teeth. In other words, show us white teeth. Show us a smile that's better than giving us milk. Rav Chiya Bar Ada, Makre Dadikei Reish Lakish Abba. Rav Chiya Bar Ada, that's the Girsa that we have. Others have the Girsa, Rav Chiya Bar Abba. We'll keep our Girsa. Rav Chiya Bar Ada was the teacher for the children of Reish Lakish. Makre Dadikei, he was the Rebbe. He was the Av Beis Rebbe for Reish Lakish's children. Now, if Gartlosa Yome, he was absent. Rashi says, Ifka means a lashon of bitul. He wasn't there. He was absent for 3 days. V'lo asa, and he didn't come to teach the children. No, Reish Lakish wasn't happy. Ki asa, when he finally came after the 3 days were up, Amalei, Reish Lakish said to him, Nu, Amai Yivkart, Nu, why were you bitul? Why did you not show up to give my children their lessons? So Rav Chiya Bar Ada said, Dolis achas hiniach liaba. I have one vine that my father left me as a Yerusha. But and I went to go and pluck from it the grapes on the first day. That's why I didn't show up day one. And I plucked so much from it. Shalosh meos eshkolos eshkol legorov. I was able to pluck from it 300 clusters of grapes over here. And each one of those 300 clusters gave me a gorov, which we said previously was a saw worth of wine. So that's a lot of produce that I had over here from this one cluster. Again, showing us the great bounty of the produce in Eretz Yisrael. Yom Sheni on the second day, but Tzarti and then a Shlosh Mios Eshkolos. I also picked 300 great clusters from it. However, Shtei Eshkolos Lagarav. Here, it took two of those eshkolos, two of those clusters, to produce a single saw of wine. And then on the third day, Yom Shlishi, Batzati Shlosh Mios Eshkolos. On the third day, he also had to harvest 300 eshkolos from it. But again, the yield was less. Shlosh Eshkolos Lagarav. It took me to have three of those clusters to go and make a saw's worth of wine. In other words, the first day, it was more productive than the second day, more productive than the third day. But in any event, there was so much produce over here, I wasn't even able to use all of it. I had to give it away. I gave away half of it as something for anybody could go take. I made it hefker. So Rish Lakish tells him, if you had showed up for the shear, if you hadn't missed the giving the shear to my children, you actually would have produced more. For the fact that it went down from 300, producing one saw each, to then the 300, it took only 150 saw, and then it took 100 saw, so therefore, obviously, the yield went down. You stayed away too long. You should have had other people go do the work for you, and you should have come and teach my children. Rami Bar Yecheskel, Ikla Bnei Brak. One time, Rami Bar Yecheskel went to Bnei Brak, and Chazinu Lanu Izi, he saw there were certain goats, the Ka'ochlan Tuse Te'ene, that were eating underneath these tanim trees, these fig trees, and the milk was dripping down from these goats as the honey was dripping down from these figs. The karnotif duvsha mita'ini, the chalava toyif minayu. So the figs were so juicy that the honey was coming out of them, and the goats were so producing milk that the milk came out from them, and umiyariv bahadi adodi, and the honey from the figs and the milk from the goats mixed together. And Omar, Rami Bar Yecheskel said, Hainu zavas chalav v'dvash. This is what it means, that the land of Eretz Yisrael will be flowing with milk and honey. The classic picture of Eretz Yisrael. Omar Rabbi Yaakov ben Dustoy said, Milod lo ono shalosha milin. There's a distance between the two cities of Lod and Ono of 3 mils. So there is a Kvar Ono in Eretz Yisrael, which is not that far from Lod. I don't know if that's referring to the time of the Gemara, the same two cities, but it's a little bit more than 3 mil away. The mil is about a kilometer. It's more than 3 mil away, but it's not that much more. In any event, Pamachas Kidamti Baneshev. One time, Rashi says, Kidamti Baneshev means Kodu Mudashacha. One time I was walking early in the morning, and Volachti Ad Karsule, and I was walking, and the flow of the honey over there, Bidvash Shotenim, from these fig honey, it reached up to my ankles. Karsule means my ankles. Amar Ish Lakish. Ish Lakish says, "Lidi chazi lizavas chal v'dvash shel Sipori." I myself saw how much flowing the land was with milk and honey in Sipori. And how much was it? Have a shisa milin, a shisa milin. It was 16 mil by 16 mil. That's a huge area. And again, it was all flowing with milk and honey. Amar Rabba Baruch Hanna, he said the same thing. "Lididi chazi lizavas chal v'dvash shel kol Eretz Yisrael." I myself saw all of the land, the flowing of milk and honey of all of Eretz Yisrael. And we turn to the final daf, Kuf Yud Beis of an Aleph. Bahave kimibe mirse ad akro de Tulbanki. And there was so much there that it would go from these two places, Bei Mirse until Tulbanki. And this was as wide as Esrin Vitartin Parsi. This was 22 Parsi. Parsi is 4 mil. So 22 Parsi is 88 mil, 88 kilometers. Orka was its length. Upusin, its width, was Shisa Parsi, was 6 Parsa. Again, 24 kilometers. So it's a huge area flowing with milk and honey. Rabbi Chalbov, Rabbi Avirov, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, these three great Amoraim, Iklal HaWasser, they came to a certain place, and Aisu Kamayu Afarsika, and they saw in front of them a peach, and this peach was so big, to have a Ke'ulfas Kefar Hino, again, showing us how great the produce was in Eretz Yisrael during that period of time, and this peach, this Afarsika, was as big as a Ilfas, and Ilfas is a frying pan, from the city of Kfar Hino. No, how big is that? The Ilfas Kfar Hino, Kama Havai. How big is such a frying pan? Chamesh son. It could hold 5 son. Again, a tremendous amount. That's how big this one peach was. Now, what do they do with it? So, Ochlu Shlish, they ate a third of this big peach. They have Kiru Shlish, they gave a third of it away. The Nasu Lufnei Behemter Shlish, and they gave their animals to eat from the other third of it. No, that was this year. Lushana, the next year, Ikla Rabbi Elazar L'Hosam. Next year, Rabbi Elazar went to that place. Vaisul Kamei, they also brought him an afarsika. However, it was much smaller. And Naktu B'Yodei, he was able to hold it in one hand. The previous peach, we said, was huge. This one was certainly not huge. And Amar Rabbi Elazar said, this is because of the sins of Klal Yisrael. Eretz Pli Limlecha, the great fruit trees over here have become salty. Meiroas Yoshvei Bo, because of the bad things that the people are doing here, because of the sins of the people living here. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ikla LeGavla. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi once went to the city called Gavla, and Chazinu Lahanu Kitufei, and he saw in Gavla that there were Kitufei. Rashi says these are eshkalos, these are clusters. The Havu Kaime Ki Igle, these clusters of grapes on the vine looked from a distance to be like they were eagles, like they were baby cows, calves. So Amr Shubin Levi, Shubin Levi said, Agolim Bein Hagafanim, it looks like there are these calves in the vineyard. So Amr Levi, the people told him, no, Kitufeninu, those aren't calves, those are grapes. So he said, wow. Amr Shubin Levi, Shubin Levi says, Eretz. So Shubin Levi talks to land and says, Hachnisi Peirosayach, go and retract your bulging grapes over here. In other words, why are you producing such huge amounts of produce, such great grapes? L'miat motziyo perisayach. For who are you doing this for? After all, Klai Yisrael is already in Golus. And l'arviyim, for the Arabs that live here, halalu sh'amdu aleinu b'chatoseinu, the Arabs have taken us over because of our sins that we were thrown out of the land. Shubin Levi is the first generation of Amora. He lived around the year 200. This is about 100 plus years after the destruction of the Bayis Sheni. So why land? There's very few Jews here. Why are you producing such delicious fruits? No, the next year, Lushana Ikla Rebchia Lahasim. Next year, Rebchia went over there. And Chazinu Davu Kaime Ki'iza. He saw that the grapes were now much smaller. They were like the size of goats. So Omar, he said, Izen Ben Akvanim, are there goats there amongst the vineyard? They're going to eat up all your vineyard. So the people told them, no, those aren't goats, those are grapes, but get out of here. Amru Levi, they said to him, Zil, go. Lo tavid lon ki chabroch. Last year, when Shubin Levi came here, so he said they looked like calves, and now the clusters of grapes, he told the grapes to go and dry up, so to say, because you're producing them for the Arabs and not for the benefit of Klai Yisrael. So now they're only the size of goats. Calves are much bigger than the goats. And therefore, they said, go away. Don't say anything further before you go and make the grapes even smaller than they currently are. We continue discussing how great the produce was in Eretz Yisrael during its heyday. Tana Rabban in the Brisa says, "Bebir Chosel Shel Eretz Yisrael, Beisa Osech Hameshes Ribo Korin." To show you the great bounty of Eretz Yisrael's fruit, so a single base saw, we've mentioned many times that a sasayim was based upon the size of the azara, which was 100 by 50. So that would be 5,000 square amma. So that's two saw, a base sasayim. So one saw is half of that, 2,500, 50 times 50. So a base saw, a field of that size, is able to make osa chameshes ribo, 5,000, 10,000. So ribo is 10,000. So 50,000 kurin can go and make 50,000 kurin. A kur is 30 saw. A huge amount of produce. Where do we see this from? We see this from the following series of statements. B'yeshivasa shol Tzoan, beis sa'osa shivim kurin. In a city called Tzoan, which was in Mitzrayim, so a beis kur, a field of that size, 2,500 square amos, was able to produce Shivim Kurin, 70 times 30 saw. So it was able to produce a large amount. And we know, the Tanya, Amar Reb Meir, Ani Ra'isi B'Bikas Beishan, I was once in Beishan, and Beis saw Ose Shivim Kurin. And this field in Beishan was able to make 70 Kurin, like we just said about saw Mitzrayim. Now, we know that the Ein Lecha Mu'ula B'chol Aratzos, there is no better place than in the entire world, Yosem Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's no better place in Chutz Laaretz to grow produce than in Mitzrayim. And in Mitzrayim, we know that it was great because it's Shesh Nemar, Kigan Hashem, Ki Eretz Mitzrayim. So the Pasuk says how great the grounds were in Mitzrayim. And we know in Mitzrayim, the best place is Tzoan. Ve'en l'cha m'ula b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, Yosem Yitzoan. So Tzoan is the most fertile, the best place in the entire world outside of Eretz Yisrael. And Abu Mirabu Ba'amulachim. And we know that that's where the kings used to go. And that was their palace. That was their capital city. So Tzoan Mitzrayim was a great place. Dechsev, Kayu, Bitzoan, Sorov. Because the Jewish people would send their officers to curry favor with the Mitzrayim. Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, I should add. That's what the Navi is telling us in Yeshaya. But in any event, they went to Tzoan in Mitzrayim, where the officers of Mitzrayim were, to try to curry favor with them. In any event, there is no place that has more rocks and is less fertile in all of Eretz Yisrael. Hebron is the least fertile area in all the Eretz Yisrael is filled with rocks. That's why they use it for cemeteries. They didn't want to waste good land, so they would bury people over there because it wasn't such fertile land. And nevertheless, Chevron, which is the weakest place in all of Eretz Yisrael, was seven times better than the best place in all the rest of the world, which is Tzoan. Now, how do we know that? Because the pasuk of the Seer, the Chevron, Sheva Shonim Nivnasol, Lefnei Tzoan Mitzrayim, that Chevron, the literal meaning is it was built 7 years before Tzoan Mitzrayim. But that doesn't make any sense because my Nivnasa, what does Nivnasa really mean? If you're going to tell me Yilema Nivnasa Mamish means it was built 7 years before Tzoan, does that make any sense? Efshar Adam, Bone Bayis of no Koton, Kodim Shivde, no Godol? Would it be possible that a person would build the house for his younger son before he builds the house for the older son? Now, we know that Mitzrayim was one of the children of Chom. And of course, so was Kenan. Now Mitzrayim was the older one because the pasuk says Shenemar uvnei Chush Kush uMitzrayim uFut uChinan, that he had four sons. Chum had four sons, and the order of the sons is their age. So uvnei Chum, the children of Chum, son number one was Kush, son number two was Mitzrayim, and son number three was Put, and son number four was Kenan. So we know that Chevron is in Kenan. So it wouldn't make any sense that he would build a city for his son from Kenan in Chevron before he would build for the son Mitzrayim in Tzoan. So therefore, what does the pasuk mean when it says that it was Mevuna? It means Ela Shemevuna al Achas Mishiva B'Tzoan. It means that it was seven times more fertile. And this is from Ibone Gam Onochi Mimena. So the lotion of Ibone is a lotion of fertility. So therefore, it's telling us in this pasuk that Chevron, which is in Canaan, which is in Eretz Yisrael, is seven times more fertile than Tzoan, which is the most fertile place in the rest of the world, in Mitzrayim. So now, if it's seven times more fertile, and Tzoan was able to produce, as we said before, 70 kor, so then if it's seven times more fertile, it's 7 times 70, which is going to be 490 kor. And since Chevron is the least fertile place in all of Eretz Yisrael, Vani Mila Betrashim, because it's filled with rocks, Avol Shelo Betrashim, the other place of Eretz Yisrael that don't have rocks, they could produce even more than that. So let's round it up to 500, Chamesh Meya. And that's what we got, Vani Mila Shelo Birchosel. That's when it didn't have the bracha to it. Avol Birchosel, when Eretz Yisrael is blessed, so then by Yitzchak it says, Kasiv, by Yisrael Yitzchak, Baritz Ahi, Vigomer, and that Vigomer is Meya She'arim. And therefore, it was able to go and produce 100 times that amount. So 100 times 500, that's where we get the number 50,000 kor from. Okay. So, in other words, we see the great, tremendous bounty that was there in the day of Eretz Yisrael. Tanya, we learn the bright summer of Yosef. Yosef said, Sa'ab Yehuda, a sa'ad's worth of produce in Yehuda, you can actually make five sa'an out of every single sa'. Why is that? Because you'd get sa' kamach, one sa' would be a flower. Sa' solis, it would also produce that when they wintered it again, a sa' of a much purer flower, of even finer flour. Then there would be the chaff, the sa' subin, the bran, the less desirable parts of the wheat. Sa' mursum, that would be even the less desirable whole wheat, so to say, the bran part. So you have the subin and the mursin, and then finally, you have something even less valuable than that, but still would make a saw of kiburaya. Rashi explains kiburaya is kemach she'eno yofe. It's not good flour. Shosim menu pas kibur, they make this dark bread from this. In any event, you see that from a single saw, you're able to break it out into five saws worth of grain product. Mark Ketanya says, I'm only out stuki le Rabbi Chanina. One time there was a stuki that said to Rabbi Chanina, Yo mashbechisu ba the arachon. It is very appropriate and proper that you praise Eretz Yisrael. As Rashi says, Yof atem mishabchinosa. It's very appropriate how you rabbis are praising Eretz Yisrael because they saw achas initli abba. I had a certain size field. They saw 2,500 square amma field that my father had left to me as a Yerusha. And from that single field, small field, mimena, mishach mimena chamor, I was able to go from this field and get chamor, wine, omimena ibur, and also grain, omimena kidneys, and also various types of beans, and omimena roos miknosi, and I was also able to go and pasture my animals in that area. So from this one small little field, I was able to get everything I needed. I was able to get oil, wine, grain, and pasture my flock. Furthermore, Amalei Haubar Amora Lebar Aradi Yisrael, Rashi explains, his Bar Amora was Echod Mibneho Amori, and he told to this Yid that just came to Eretz Yisrael, and he said to him, Hi, Tolsa de Kaima Aguda de Ardena. This Tolsa, Rashi tells us, is Dekel Ploni, this certain palm tree, Homer Asfasayadin, it's on there on the bank of the Jordan River. So how much do you go and get from it? Kama Godrisu Mina. How much are you able to go and harvest from that tree? Godrisu, Rashi tells us, is a special lashon of Godrim is Hemenu Lekitas Tomorim Kuruya Gedira in Hebrew, and in the lashon of the Gemara, it's Guzra. In any event, how much could you go and harvest from this tree? So the Yid told this Amori, he said, Amalei, Shisin Kuri, I was able to get 60 kurs worth. The Amori was surprised. This guy said, Amalei, wow, Akati lo ailisu ba achrivasu hua. That you haven't been here a long time, and yet you're already destroying the land. Because when I owned that tree, Anan Meya Vyasum Kor Hava Gazrinon Mina. When I would own that tree, I was able to get 120 kor worth of the dates from that tree. So the Yid responded to him, I'm like, yeah, I also get 120. When I said 60, I know Nami Mechad Giso coming look. I was only telling you from one side of the tree and not from the entire tree. Now, why didn't he tell him the entire tree? So I don't have a good answer for this. It's possible that he didn't want the guy to maybe try to take the tree back. So he minimized how much he was getting. We didn't lie. Said that when I meant 60, I said 60 from one side. I wasn't talking about the whole tree. Okay. Amr Chista continues and he tells us, what does the pasuk mean when it says that Tein Loch Eretz Chemda Nachlas Tzvi? The pasuk from Yirmiyahu tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving you this great land, this much desired land, Eretz Chemda, which is Nachlas Tzvi. This is the inheritance of a tzvi, of a deer. What does that mean? So, Loma Eretz Yisrael Nim Shalol Tzvi. Why are we comparing Eretz Yisrael to this deer? So, it's teaching us a very important point. Loma Loch. Teaching us the following. Matzvi, just like a deer, this deer, eno oro, machzik bisoro, when you go and flay the animal, so it shrinks, Rashi says, the hide shrinks, and you can't believe that once was able to enclose the entire deer, because when you take off the hide, you flay the animal after you shecht it, so there's very little hide that's left there. So too, Eretz Yisrael is like that. Af Eretz Yisrael, eno machzik is perusel. Eretz Yisrael has so much bounty that you can't, so to say, contain it within Eretz Yisrael once you go and harvest all the crops. Alternatively, Dover Acher, Matzvizeh, this deer, Kal Mikol Achayos, is very, very fast. Rashi explains that Kal means, Rashi elsewhere says it means Kal Biraglov. In the morning Rosh Hashanah, Rashi says Kal means it's very, very swift on its feet. So it's faster than all the other animals. So Av Eretz Yisrael, so too, Eretz Yisrael is Kala. It's able to produce more quickly. Mikol Aratzos, Levashel, Sperusel. It can go produce fruits in a very short period of time. Remember we had a Gemara that explained that one time the produce grew in a very short time, from just a few days before the Yontif, until already the Yontif, it was able to be harvested. In any event, so you might say over here that if it's not actually a bracha that they produce so fast, because maybe just like the deer runs very fast, but as a result, it's a very lean animal because it's exercising so much. So matzvi zeh kal, however, vein b'sar shomei, but it doesn't have fatty meat, which was considered a very positive thing. So aferis israel, yeah, kala, levashel, it brings forth the fruit very quickly. However, vein perusher shmeina, but it doesn't bring forth very, very delicious shmeina fruits, very, very, good type of fruits, plump types of fruits. So talmud lomer, so therefore the pasuk says, no, zavas cholav devash, shmeina mecholav, umesukim devash. No, it's even better than milk and better than honey. That's how it's so great, praising the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Then we have the Gemara continuing. Rabbi Lazar, ki avi solok l'Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Lazar would go to Eretz Yisrael from Babel. Amar, he would say, palti li michada. So, Baruch Hashem, now that I was able to go to Eretz Yisrael, I've been saved from one of these curses that are going to be described in a moment in the Pasuk. Then he said, when I got smicha, ki samchu, when they gave him smicha, he went up to Eretz Yisrael, they gave him smicha in Eretz Yisrael. So now he said, Baruch Hashem, palti li mitarti. I've been saved from a second curse that we're about to see described in the Pasuk. And then finally, ki ozvu, besoda ibar, when they put him on the basedin, They taught him the Soda Eber, how to go and decide when there should be a Rosh Chodesh, when there should be an Eber Yar. So Amar, he said, now, Baruch Hashem, Poltili Mitlos, I've been saved from the third of the three curses that will be described in the following Pasuk in Yecheskel. And what is this Pasuk? The Pasuk is, Shenemar, V'hoysa yodi el ha-nevi'im ha-chozim shov, v'kosmin kozov b'sod ami lo yu. And the pasuk continues, and it tells us, "Ubechsav beis Yisrael lo yikosevu, v'aladmas Yisrael lo yavo, v'yidatem keni Hashem Elokim." Now, how do we dash in this pasuk? So, where it says "Besod ami lo yu," so it says that you won't be with those people that are besod ami. That's a reference to Zeh Soda Ibur. So, when he went to Eretz Yisrael, he was now part of this council, this beis din of the Soda Ibur, so he was saved from that curse. The pasuk continues, says, "Ubichsav beis Yisrael lo yikosevu." What does that mean? So this is a reference to smicha. So he was saved from that curse of not being a person who would get smicha. And then finally, when it says, "Ve'lad beis Yisrael lo yavo," you won't come into Eretz Yisrael. That's kimashmo. That means that they would be punished by not being able to go to Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Elazar is telling us he was saved from all three of these curses because he went to Eretz Yisrael and he did in fact get smicha. And then in fact they put him on the beis din of the Soda Ibur. Finally, we go back to Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira finally went up to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Zeira, ki avi solik l'Eretz Yisrael. When he went to Eretz Yisrael, remember he was running away from Rabbi Yehuda. We had this at the very start of this entire discussion about Eretz Yisrael. So lo ashkach marv l'maver. So he came to a river, and there was no boat to get him to the other side of the river. So he was stuck. He couldn't get into Eretz Yisrael. What did he do? There was a rope that was going from one side of the river to the other side of the river, and it had a plank of wood that was connecting one river to the other side. It wasn't really what you would call a bridge, but if you held on to this rope and you walked carefully on these planks of wood, so you could cross from the side that was outside Eretz Yisrael to the side that was in Eretz Yisrael. So what did he do? He did that. So he held onto this rope and walked very daintily across these planks of wood, and he made it to the other side. A very dangerous thing. So I'm like, how about Tzeduki? So it was Tzeduki who saw this and said, I'm a Paziza. You are part of Klai Yisrael that always was very quick to jump in and do things very impetuously. So he said, Kidekomisu Pumaichu Leudunaichu. Just like you said, Nasa and then Vinishma. You first said, we'll do it. We don't know what we're going to do, but we'll do it. And then you listen to what you have to do. So too, Akate Befizizu Saichu. That you're still doing the same sorts of things. Just like your forefather said, Nasa v'nishma, you're jumping out of here. Why don't you wait till a boat comes? Why don't you wait till you have a safer way to get across this river instead of doing this dangerous trek across the river that you did? So Zeri says, no. I'm not missing out on the opportunity to get into Eretz Yisrael. Amalei, duch to the Moshe v'Aaron lo zohu lo, ano miyemar de zochina lo, says, Moshe and Aaron begged to go into Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't get to go into Eretz Yisrael. So who says that I'm going to be successful getting to Eretz Yisrael? If I wait till tomorrow, who knows what's going to happen? So therefore, I'm doing it right now. While I have the opportunity, I'm going to go and do it. Again, the love for Eretz Yisrael. Now we see other great Amoraim, how much they loved Eretz Yisrael and how they demonstrated this. So Rabbi Abba Menashe Kefe Da'ako. Rabbi Abba would go and kiss. Menashe means to kiss. Kefe Da'ako. Rashi has two interpretations of what Kefe are. The first one is Almogim. It's coral. He would kiss the coral stones of Ako. Alternatively, Rashi says Lishnachrina. It means, Kefe means, Kepe the Akko means slime, the rocks. He would just kiss the stones over there, as we'll see in a moment in a pasuk on the Amud Beis, how much the Amoraim loved even the rocks of Eretz Yisrael, based upon a pasuk. That was Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Hanina, what did he do? So we have the Girsa, Misakin Maskale. So that means, Rashi says, in the bottom Rashi, Mashve, he would go smooth out, Umisakin, and affix, Machshule Ha'ir, he would go and fix the city up and remove stumbling blocks in it and smooth it out because of his love for Eretz Yisrael. Shaisu Chaviva love. He loved it so much. And he did this. He didn't want anybody to say, oh, that was a bumpy road. Oh, that land wasn't smooth and even. So Rabbi Hanina would go and smooth out the road so people shouldn't say Lashon Hara, Rachmana Lusan, about Eretz Yisrael. Tosos has a slightly different version over here, and he says, Rabbi Hanina habi maskel maskele, not misakin, but maskel. And he has an interesting idea. He says, Pirush, shokel anovim, he would weigh the stones, umotzon kalos, if he saw that they were light, they didn't weigh what he expected a stone from Eretz Yisrael to weigh, he said, ah, adayin lo nichnasti l'Eretz Yisrael, haven't reached Eretz Yisrael yet. However, when the stones got heavier, he said, now I know, Baruch Hashem, Shemotzim Kvedos, Amar Kvar Nichnasti L'Yisrael. Oh, I know, Baruch Hashem, I got to Eretz Yisrael. And this is also brought down in the Tanchuma on Parsha Shlach, where it says that Rabbi Chanina Gadol went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and Bikesh Leida im Nichnas Eretz Yisrael. He wants to know, has he reached Eretz Yisrael yet? So he also weighed the stones, Vayishokel Avonim, Kozman, Shayakalos, and when they were still light, Amar Adayin Lo Nichnas Eretz Yisrael. He says, I haven't reached Eretz Yisrael. Kivin Shemotzim Kvedos, so that they were heavier. So Amar, oh, Ein Elu Ela Avnei Eretz Yisrael. I, Baruch Hashem, have reached Eretz Yisrael. But even Nashkin, he would kiss those stones. And he said, the pasuk has that, which we're going to see in a moment. They couldn't wait to touch even the stones of Eretz Yisrael. Right? When people go to Eretz Yisrael, they get off the plane, so they kiss the ground because they love Eretz Yisrael so much. They want to show the chib of Eretz Yisrael. By the way, the top toast was over here. We talked about Rabbi Abba would kiss the stones in Akko, so the top toast says, but Akko is not in Eretz Yisrael. So why did he do that? So it says, no, half of Akko was in Eretz Yisrael, half of Akko was in Chutz La'aretz. So when he reached the part that was in Eretz Yisrael, that's when he would kiss it. Now we go to the last daf, Rav Ami v'Rav Asi, we turn to Kuf Yud Beis, Omid Beis, the last daf in this beautiful Masechta. So they used to go and make sure that nobody ever said anything bad about Eretz Yisrael, such an important musa for us. Kaimei Mishimsho Latula, they would go and move from the sun into the shade during the hot summer days because it got too hot there. They didn't want people to say, oh, it's too hot. So they moved to the shade where it was cooler. Umitula, and they went in the winter months from the shade where it was now too cold, Lashimsha, into the sun. And they did this so nobody would even cast any aspersions about Eretz Yisrael and say, oh, it's too hot or too cold over here. And one has to be so careful not to say Lashon Hara about the weather in Eretz Yisrael, right? Baruch Hashem, we just came back from Eretz Yisrael. So anybody asked me, how was it? Oh, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Now, even if it wasn't wonderful, you say it's wonderful because you don't want to say anything bad about Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem was wonderful. But you don't want to say anything bad about it. You don't want to say it's too hot. You don't want to say it's too cold. You don't want to say it was rainy. It wasn't rainy. You just say it's beautiful. That's what you should say always about Eretz Yisrael. And finally, Ruchia Barganda, Migander Biafra, he would roll in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. That's how much he loved it. Shenemar, and that's the pasuk the Tosfos just brought down before. Ki ratzu avodecha esavonel, your servants, the Klal Yisrael, they want so badly to just give a kiss to the stones, v'esavfara yichonenu, and they love the dust over here. So therefore, these great Amoraim, they demonstrated their love to Eretz Yisrael in a very, very physical type of a way. Finally, Gemara says, and Tosus brings this down, in the top Tosus, Dor Ben David Bar says, Aidi Dairi B'Birchas Ha'olam Haba, since we talk now about how great the produce will be in Eretz Yisrael, in Yitz Hashem, when Mashiach comes, Dainu L'Mos HaMashiach, so therefore, Nochet Lo Nami Hocha. So now it's going to tell us what's going to be right before Mashiach comes, and this is a much harsher description, and that's why we're going to have a very short negative thing over here, and then we'll end on a positive note, which again, Tosus points out that we should have had that positive note over here. It should have continued talking about how great Eretz Yisrael was, but we want to end the Masechta on a positive note, as we always do, rather than on the sad note that we're about to say. So Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba. Rav Zeira said the name of Yirmiyahu bar Abba. The Dor Sheben David bought in the generation right before the Mashiach comes, so it's going to be very difficult for Klal Yisrael. This is called the Chevle Mashiach. And Kategoria B'Tamidei Chachamim. And there's going to be a tremendous diatribe and making life difficult for the Tamidei Chachamim. And there's going to be a lack of respect for Talmidei Chachamim, as Rashi brings down over here, that there harbe mastinim umalabdim chova yamdu alem. There will be many people that will go and argue against the Talmidei Chachamim and cause their reputations to be sullied. And Kamisa Kamei de Shmuel, when Rav Zeira said this statement of Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba over in front of Shmuel, so Shmuel added to it, Kamisa Kamei de Shmuel, Shmuel said, Omar Tzeruf Achar Tzeruf. So this is an idea that the Gezeros will come on top of Gezeros. So it'll be very difficult for Klal Yisrael during this time. Just like when you go and smelt something, when you go and try to make something purified, if you have silver that has impurities in it, you go put it in the fire to make it purer. So the Pasuk says, Shenemar, V'o dubo asiria, you'll have a tenth of it after you get rid of the impurities, V'shov v'ho yisrael levar, and you have to cook even that tenth back in the fire to make it even purer and purer. Tony Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said about this, and he says, "Bazoze uvazoze devazoze," which Rashi translates over here as "Sholim achasholim." In other words, there'll be terrible, terrible persecutions against the Jewish people during this time of the Chevli Mashiach. That was a very sad note, but we want to end on a very, very positive note. So, Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rav. Via Rashi said the name of Rav. Asidin in the future, even the trees that aren't fruit-bearing will now bear fruit. Kol ilan yisrak, the non-fruit-bearing trees, shebaretz Yisrael, sheyitanu peros. Hashem's going to make a miracle that even the non-fruit-bearing trees are going to go and bear fruit. And where do we see this from? This is a pasuk from Yoel, where it says, shenemar, ki eitz nosa pirio. It says, a tree will carry its fruit. And then it says, te'ena, the fig trees, and the gefen, and the vines, nasnu chela, will give their produce. So the fig trees will produce figs, and the vine will produce the grapes, will produce wine. Now, what does that mean then when it says, ki eitz nosa pirio? If you're already telling me that the tana tree will produce tainim and the gef and the vines will produce grapes, so then what are you telling me? Eitz no superior. So as Rashi explains, over in the last Rashi in the Masechta, midichsiv tainim v'gefen, since you already mentioned about the tainim and the gefen, says that they're giving their produce, so then hare eitz priomer. We already mentioned fruit-bearing trees are giving forth their fruit. So matam adomer ki eitz no superior. So what are you telling me? That a tree will give forth its fruit? So here we make the drush. Even non-fruit-bearing trees, Yisu Peri, will magically through the nace go forth and bear fruit. So on this positive note, we end the Masechta. Hadron Alecha Shnei Dayanik Zeros. We finish off this beautiful 13th parak of Ksubos. V'slik Alam Masechta Ksubos. So we finish off the entire beautiful Masechta of Ksubos. And Yitz Hashem, tomorrow we will start Nedarim, a wonderful Masechta continuing in Seder Noshim. Hadron Alecha Shnei Dayanik Zeros, Slika Lo Masechta Ksuvos, and Hadron Alecha Shnei Dayanik Zeros, Slika Lo Masechta Ksuvos. I hope people enjoy this Masechta. It's a great Masechta. Mitzvah Hashem, I hope people will join us, spread the word, to join us for the start of Nedarim, which is a great Masechta as well. With this, we conclude today's share.